Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. See, this music just kind of gets you going every time I listen to it. It's like momentum. The motion is set, and we're doing a lot of things here in the past few days, trying to line up some really interesting guests for our program. We have reached out, and those of you who don't know yet, we do have a commitment from our Congressman, Representative Bill Flores, District 17. He's going to join us once a month. And we're working on getting the Texas Republican chairman to join us also periodically to give us updates and news, some insight regarding the local party here in Texas. So I'm very excited about that. But tonight, Thursday nights with Dr. David Owalalu, we're at it. And, you know, every Thursday night our numbers spike. And it's because he has very interesting perspectives and insight. And you can tell that what he says, he means, and he understands the details, intricacies of these issues. And tonight he wanted to talk about our U.S. justice system/death penalty. So we want to welcome again Dr. David Owalalu. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you, Dirk? Glad to be here.
Awesome. Always a pleasure to have you on. You know, I don't know what your position is or kind of what your angle here is on the justice system and death penalty. I know these are topics that most people don't like to discuss because they're such heated positions. You're talking about life and death. You're talking about justice being served, crime, criminals. You know, I know that we're locking up people, and I know our prisons are full. I know it costs the taxpayers a lot of money. Tell me, how do you see our justice system these days?
Well, first of all, it is an uncomfortable issue to talk about. However, in a democracy, we need, and this is again, and I'm going to keep hammering this point, this is again why I like your show. It's because it's unfiltered, and also because you bring up issues to the forefront that needs to be addressed. We cannot be sugarcoating the social issues that are critical to our society. And yes, the justice system, the death penalty, those issues we need to confront and we need to talk and have an honest debate about. But before I start, let me just differentiate one thing. There is a difference between a law and justice, because law is subject to human flaws. And when we talk about whether we have justice in our system or not, we should first of all differentiate between the two. A lot of people think justice is the law, and the law is justice, and it's not the case. Second thing is we cannot be talking about this issue without addressing statistics, because numbers and data does not lie. For example, if we are to just look at the past year or two, in 2013, the incarceration in the United States was the highest in the world. You're looking approximately at 716 per 100,000. And almost this represents a 4.4% of the world population. It houses about 22% of the world's prisoners. And the cost that comes with it, you're looking at a $74 billion. That was back in 2008. I am certain that number has doubled. And when you look at these issues in comparison to, when you look at our incarceration rate in comparison to other countries, and I did some research into this to found some numbers to support my argument. When you look at, for example, Germany, it has about 76 per 100,000 as of 2014. In Italy, you have about 85 per 100,000 as of 2015. Saudi Arabia, you have about 161 per 100,000 as of 2013. You compare this to other countries, for example, with zero tolerance for, let's say, a policy for illegal drugs. The rate, for example, in Russia was about 455 per 100,000 as of 2015. Singapore has about 220 per 100,000 as of 2014. And lastly, Sweden was about 60 per 100,000 as of 2014. And what these numbers tell you, it's just not only we have the highest incarceration rate, it's also because our justice system is broken. Incarcerating people or prisoners or criminals, whatever you want to call them, stacking them in a prison, it's not the solution. First, you have to identify what the problems are. What are the flaws within the system itself? And all the numbers that I just provided you, I'm not even talking about juveniles yet. The juvenile detention in 2013 was about 54,148 juveniles.
You know,
and even yes, sir.
When I think about criminals or people who are incarcerated, I think, you know, they've made a decision somewhere in their lives and ultimately paying the consequence. And, you know, they get sentenced and they serve 3 to 5 years. They get served three meals a day. You know, they get to watch TV and hang out with the fellas all day long, you know, play a little basketball, lift a little weights, you know, take your showers. I mean, I'm not saying that it's, I wouldn't want to have that, but that becomes, to some people, it's a better life inside prison than it is outside prison. We've made it, you know, our liberal and progressive officials have you know, helped to pass laws that make us cater to these criminals. So now, what's the harm in going to prison? It's no big deal. Yeah, I'll do the crime. There's no more deterrent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's sort of a joke. I recall one conversation I had one time in Europe. I was in one of those countries going through for my work, and then I struck a conversation with somebody at the airport. And he came up, yeah, where are you from? And one thing led to the next, till the name of America comes up. And I said, we Europeans are so, sort of, we laugh at your justice system. And I say, why is that? He said, we don't understand. We see those movies and we see how your system is, in a sense that a criminal, when he goes in, he comes out buffed, worked out, he had three meals, he served with dinner. And he had a point. And he told me one thing, and I will never forget it. He said, do you know one thing? You can judge a society by the state of its prisoners. I will never forget that statement. And you know what? He was right. This is why we have the issue of this death penalty and those. And by the way, I must let you know what I stand on. I am for death penalty. An eye for an eye. Isn't what the Bible says? And at the same time, you commit a crime, assuming that the evidence is overwhelming, okay, that it's been proven through the evidence that the individual has committed a crime, then why are we putting somebody on the death row for the next 25 years at a cost of $85,000 a year out of taxpayers' money?
Okay, so that right there brings up a question. And I'm sure you've got a lot to say about this. But we all know, and if you don't know, if people don't know, then they should, that the prison system is a business. from all the way from getting the grants or the money to build the prison system, to forecasting out each jail space and potentially leasing those spots out to neighboring counties and things like that. I mean, prisons are money, or supposed to be money-making entities. And to me, the taxpayers are just kind of suckered into this whole system. And you know, like you say, we end up paying for 20 years to put someone on death row. Well, probably not in Texas, but still, 5 years, 10 years. You know, if they got the death penalty, why do they have to, why can't we do this in, you know, 30, 90 days or something like that?
I couldn't agree with you more, Duke. I couldn't agree with you. But, I mean, all the evidence is overwhelming that the individual has indeed committed the crime. It shouldn't be on the death row for the next 20 years.
Are we arresting more people? Are more people doing more crime? And you know, the consequences, our jails are filled. I saw a statistic, 39% black males. I don't know how accurate that is, but...
a high percentage for the black population within the prison. I mean, it's been documented. I don't remember the numbers. I came across something through my research, and I did see some high numbers when it comes down to the black population in prison. But the whole point is, if the government, if the central government, the federal government, couldn't come up with the policies that would have to streamline this process, you can't just be putting people in prison, dragging that for so long because of some interest groups pushing for the privatization of prison per se. I mean, when you think about it, the federal sentences are about twice as long as the state ones. On an average, for the same offense, for the same crime.
Yeah, I mean, there's contracts for everything. You know, prisons and the justice system is geared around systems that, I don't know how else to explain it. From the creation of the jail and prison itself, it's supposed to make money. An efficient jail should generate revenue in reimbursements and things like that. And, you know, we get in trouble when we don't have the funds and we have to kind of be at the mercy of, I don't know how to explain it. I hear what you're saying. It's like it doesn't seem fair that we're forced to pay for, ultimately you're saying we're having to pay for criminals who are they sentenced too long? Do you think the sentence isn't doing them any good? I'm trying to get to exactly what the root of this here is.
What part of the root of the problem? First of all, in the case of the death penalty, let's just play this scenario. Somebody intentionally shot someone with the intent to kill the guy, okay? He or she killed the guy, okay? Now, the evidence is overwhelmed that he did indeed plan all this and all that stuff and kill the guy. Now we put in the person in prison. Okay, we put him on a death row for the next 20, 25 years. First of all, why are we doing that to begin with? Why are we making a decision that we're going to place this individual who shot this person? We have the overwhelming evidence. We have to put him or her for the next 25 years. Take care of it within the next 30 days. Second, why taxpayers have to put the bill for that? It's not right. You, who work 40 or 50 hours, why the federal government has to take some of your hard-earned dollars and turn around and support somebody behind bars for the next 20 or 25 years? When we know we're going to put that person to death at some point. Don't get me wrong. I do have a heart and I do have a feelings. But when it comes down to justice, this is what justice is, an eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be dancing around it any other way. It's because you don't create that kind of boundaries. These people are not going to learn in terms of, okay, if I commit a crime, I'm going to have to pay the consequences. But when you get
and you're right. The second they see their friend within 30 days is executed and buried, that message is going to shoot through the country.
That's it. People are going to think twice. Okay, do I need to go to this house and rob it at night? What if I end up killing the guy? And I know what's going to happen to me within the next 30 days. Straightforward.
Shouldn't
allow interest groups, the special interest groups who are pushing the envelope, pushing the agenda when it comes down to prisons, to have a say into the legislation that deals with the justice system.
And what do they want?
What do they want? They want that the federal government, the legislation, the narrative or the wording within the legislation will allow them to have a say into, okay, we need to have more prisons because we have more criminals. We become the writer, Jamie Ferner. He said that the land of the free, and I'm quoting here, the land of the free has become a country of prisons.
You know why? Because people have just decided to go nuts. They truly feel the police have no respect for authority. They're shooting cops. It does feel a little bit like anarchy is upon us.
And why this anarchy is happening to begin with is because we as a society, we cease to be the great nation we used to be. We used to stood up for something that was right. Okay? Even for our fights, or whatever you want to call it, our wars, what have you. We used to fight for moral reasons. And we even, the laws that we have enacted and passed, those laws we passed, we struck down for moral reasons. We don't do that anymore. It becomes, in our society now, it becomes all about me. Hell with the rest. And pardon my language here. Because that's how what we've become. We used to care about our neighbor. We don't even care anymore. We used to sacrifice. We don't care anymore. We used to put our money where our mouth were. We don't do that anymore.
I would say that we're exactly at the place where the Communist Party USA wants us to be. Fractured.
And I am sure they are turning in their graves and saying, hey, the society is fractured. This is where we want it to be.
Yep.
Keep filling the prisons with the criminals. Keep pushing the envelope. Keep building more prisons. Keep using taxpayers' money for prisons rather than advancing sciences, rather than advancing math, physics, chemistry, and what have you. I mean, when you think about it, if we are the 7th in literacy in the world, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in a life expectancy, 178 in infant mortality, 3rd in a median household income, and 4th in export, we only lead into major categories. You know what they are, Duke? Number one is the number of incarcerated citizens per capita. And the second will be defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries, most of them are, or the 25th, are our allies in NATO. Shame on us. Shame on us. Because we have smart people in this country, but we are not willing to do one basic thing. It's what you do in your show, talking honestly about the issues. That's what
what are we going to do? What is this show going to do to change a person, a criminal, before they actually do the crime? What can we plant into their minds that makes them reconsider? That, to me, it's a deterrent. It's like, they used to say, I can't remember what country in the Middle East, you could put your wallet down on the corner and walk away and come back an hour later and it'd still be there because no one wanted to get their hand cut off.
And I would have to agree with you with that, because I witnessed some of that with my own eyes in the Middle East. That is correct. There were shops that they were open in the afternoon. I used to walk. Sometimes when I had some time off after my office hours, I would step outside and take a look just because that was my curiosity. I wanted to learn. And I'd see shops open. And guess what? Nobody will dare to touch anything that doesn't belong to him. So, and I'm not suggesting that's their way over there. We have a different system. We have different values. We have different principles and so forth. But this is where the federal government will have to step in and issue the guidelines, and those guidelines will not be sort of changed, altered, or negotiated over with the consent.
We're going to be making life hard on criminals, and that's going to be resisted. Can't you just hear Harry Reid? Can't you just hear Nancy Pelosi talking about, these people are suffering enough. Must we also take away their televisions? Must we also make them, eat? They can't have steak on Fridays anymore. They want steak. They're in prison. Give them some steak.
Well, then they have to pay for it. Let them pay for it. And see, when it starts to affect their pocket, they're going to have second thought. I mean, why should taxpayers' money? Why should you? Why should the government, the federal government, take some of your hard-earning dollars to support somebody behind bars for the next 20 years? Just if somebody could explain that to me and tell me the rationale for why the government, the federal government, will do that. It's not right. It's not right.
But it's hard. Go ahead.
But to go back to your question, is what the government can do. Well, first of all, you have to educate the population about what the difference between the law and justice. Then you go into instilling this kind of education early on. You're not going to be educating people in their 50s. This stuff started early on. The generation starts from early on. This is what the consequences will be for your crime, should you ever consider the idea of committing crime. Here is the consequences of your actions. Spelled out. Then the people, when I say people, I'm referring to criminals, would have to make that decision. Okay, I commit crime?
What kind of punishment should a rapist get?
For a rapist? Oh, well, to me, a rapist should be put to death, period. Because when you ask the question, how would you feel if your sister or your daughter is raped? Why are we? Because we never have to talk about this openly, and that's part of the mistake. Why do rapists would have to spend 7 years or 8 years and be out back in society? If you, as a rapist, decide to violate the rights of someone else, then your rights should be violated as well. And the way the government is going to have to do it, and this is with the consent of the people, this is where you engage the society into the decision. You don't have only 9 people making a decision for 300 million people. And you know what I'm referring to here.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what the consequences for your action will be. You rape somebody, you'll be put to death, period.
Is that something the state can enact that law? It doesn't have to be federal, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. You're right, because we do have within our Constitution that the state has almost sovereignty. But remember, within the Constitution is that the federal laws supersede those of the state. If the state is going to be depending on funding from the federal, obviously there will have to be some give and take. But this is where you make it clear to the federal government. You let the state decide within its own borders how we want to implement the law. I mean, you and I are aware of the states that they abolished the death penalty for whatever reason, on human grounds. I understand the argument, but I don't believe in it. It's because why, if you're going to ban the death penalty in your state, then why are you depending on a federal money when you know that that federal money is coming from taxpayers? Why should we fund your program for something that you believe in? You don't believe in that penalty, so we're going to have to fund you to fund your program for you to provide nice prison, TV, steak on Friday, a luxury life, basically. I mean, it was a joke in Europe when they think of American prisons. They said it's like a hotel. One of them one time said, and I mean this, they said that, say, hey, I might go to America and just commit a crime to stay in prison. To them, it was joking. It was a joke, but it wasn't a joke to me. As an American, it wasn't a joke. I didn't look at it as a joke because it's the reality of what we live. And I was ashamed by that.
Yeah, we're definitely not leading in this department. I like the idea of stiffening our laws, but you always have the bleeding heart liberals who say that we don't have the right to do these things to other people. They're human beings and they deserve to. I don't know.
I understand. I understand that argument, Dick. But tell the liberals, well, you're going to fund those humans behind the bars for the next 20 years, and you see what the response will be. When it touches their pocket, it will make a difference to them. Trust me. Trust me on this.
Yeah.
It'll make a difference. I just don't believe in somebody working 40 or 50 hours to put food on the table, and the federal government will come and take some of his or her hard-earned dollars to finance and fund a program for somebody who's on the death row for the next 20 years. And as I mentioned, it costs about $83,000 a year to sustain somebody on a death row.
Mm. Mm. All right. Well, I'll give you that might have been your last thought, but I'll give you another opportunity for a final thought on this segment because we're about to wrap it up.
Well, to me, that's all I can say is we have to aspire to what's better for our society. Because we have never identified ourselves by who, for example, decide to side with or link with. We were able to do everything together as a nation. And when it comes down to the justice system, the same thing should apply. We, the citizens, have to have a say into how we want our justice system to be. I'm not going to depend on few individuals to decide for me what I believe is right. You kill somebody, you should be put to death, period. Because that was what you wanted to do, then you took somebody's life, then yours should be taken. An eye for an eye, as the Bible says.
Well, and I think the key here is swift justice. We want
that
swift
is correct.
Justice. We don't want to
that
wait 20 years to have justice. I mean, it's so bad for the victims and families who were left behind. But Dr. Walaloo, I appreciate you again calling in Thursday nights. Tune in every Thursday night. We're going to have more insight from this, I would say, very enlightening individual. Hey, follow me on Twitter, at Duke Machado 1, and find me on Facebook and like my page. We're building the roster up. Going to be bringing in the Texas Republican chairman soon. Also, we've got Congressman Flores on every fourth Monday. The Duke Machado Show, and we're out of here.